This is Topcast, a podcast made for all you participants of International Week.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Topcasts. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into the behind-the-scenes lives of some of your favorite top desk teammates. I'm Pep Rosenfeld from the Boom Chicago Comedy Theater, and with me is Nick Spear from HR at Top Desk Netherlands. Nick, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing well. And thanks for asking. It's very polite. Nick, here's the drill. I've got 10 questions for you. They're going to dig deep. They're not about your professional life. We don't want to hear about HR or Top Desk. We want to find the Nick behind the Nick. We want to find out who you really are. So we've got 20 minutes to answer these questions. I'm going to start the clock right now. Does that sound all right?
Yeah, all right. Let's get started.
The clock is started. I imagine that you've got plenty of, you know, HR-related responsibilities at your job, but that's not the question. The question, the first question is, what is your biggest responsibility outside of the workplace?
That would be my family. I recently became a dad for the first time.
Congratulations.
Raising a little girl. Thank you very much. So raising this little girl is my biggest priority next to work, I guess. I also have a dog, which is kind of a responsibility, but it's less troublesome than a little kid. So.
Oh, you have no idea. I have twin boys and a dog, and the dog listens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can just give it a command and it does what you tell him to do. Yeah.
Yeah, that works with the kids for about the first 4 years. And after that, Nick, it's, enjoy this beginning part. What's her name?
Macy.
Macy. Oh, that's a lovely name. And I mean, let's dive deep on what I'm really interested in. What's the dog's name?
Dog's name is Charlie.
How did Charlie respond to Macy? Did he get it? Did he get that he just got a demotion where he stands in the family?
Oh no, that was wonderful. She was there while my girlfriend was in labor, and like minutes after Macy was born, the dog was on the bed with us and just checking out the baby. And now they're best friends, so they play together. And
that's super sweet.
It goes really well.
I mean, hopefully there was a midwife there that also checked her out, not just the dog.
Yeah.
What do you think? Charlie, you okay with the dog? Roof! With the baby? Roof! Okay, then I guess we're okay.
Okay, then let's go, yeah.
Who needs the consultati bureau when you have Charlie?
Exactly.
And have you already felt that the pulls of, because you said, and I thought it was telling, you said that she's the biggest responsibility next to work. I think the correct phrasing was work is the biggest responsibility next to her. But and I'm just curious if you felt the tug yet of trying to do two things at once. How has that been so far for you?
Well, not really. I got a pro tip from a colleague of mine who is a father for quite some time now. And he said, when you're at work, focus on work. When you're at home, focus at home. And that really helped me just to keep the two in balance. With the old COVID thing going on right now, it was a bit of a struggle, of course, for the first couple of months because the daycares were closed. So she was home all the time. And I just worked around it, basically. I was like, okay, if the kid's okay and I have some spare time on my hands, then I'll do the work. And she sleeps well, and she sleeps especially during the night. So that's time
for me
to do some work then as well. So, yeah, it was a bit of a struggle for the first couple of weeks. But, if the baby is happy, then I'm relaxed too. And then it will be better to work then instead of the other way around. So.
Well, look, the pro tip I would give you for you and for your girlfriend is you're not mad at each other. You're just very tired.
Yeah. Well, for the sleeping part of it, I'm really blessed because within a month, we laid her at bed at, I think, around 8. And then she slept until the next morning, 8. Never woke up at night.
Oh, my gosh.
So those sleep deprived colleagues that were talking about the first year and struggling through, I have no idea what they're talking about. I sleep like a baby.
Speaking on behalf of them and myself, we hate you and think you're a jerk, Nick. I'm gonna move on. You're 34 years old. Although if I'm honest, you look older. You're 34 years old. I don't know what you look like. Can you take us back to the time when you were 18? And think, you know, what were your dreams back then? And not just your dreams, but also your biggest fears when you were young, 18-year-old Nick.
Yeah. When I grew up at a small town. So when I was 18, my life really surrounded itself with going to the gym, thinking about my friends and doing stuff with them and just hanging out at a basketball court. My dreams came later in life, I guess. I moved to The Hague, the city where I live now, when I was 19, and
city of dreams.
Yeah, there a whole new world opened before me. I came in touch with different kind of people. I got introduced into college life. I got my first real job, and that really changed a lot of my perspectives. So the biggest dreams when I was 18 were just nothing compared to what my dreams are now. The same goes for fears, basically. I was pretty naive when I was young, so I wasn't scared for much. And now being opened to the world and see all the things that could happen to myself or to my daughter or to my family, it put things in perspective.
Let me ask you, because to be fair, I mean, if we're honest and we play back the tape here, I asked you what were your biggest dreams and your biggest fears, and you said, no dreams, no fears. And I'm going to let that slide. But now I want to know, what are your dreams today? What are your dreams today, you know, based on what you've learned over the last, 15 years or so?
Yeah. I think my biggest dream is to leave the world a better place when I entered. That's a little bit vague, but I'm trying to do things that are beneficial for the people around me so that they have a better time here.
I think it's only fake if you don't do it. I mean, it's only fake if you say it but don't mean it. But if you say it and you feel like you're doing it, I mean, how would you do it? How can you leave the world a better place?
Well, just trying to be helpful to the people around me and try to take care of the people around me and try to help people achieve things that they would like to achieve within their lives as well. Be there for them, coach them along the way.
And are you doing
that kind of stuff?
Are you doing that?
Yeah, I am doing that. Yeah. Or at least I try to do whenever I can.
Well, all right. I'll take it, Nick. I feel like the world's already a notch better just because you're on the case. I wonder if you do you follow the news at all, and if so, how do you do it? Are you a social media person? Do you sit and read the newspaper? What do you do?
I was a really news addict for a while, until I noticed that a lot of my time was consumed by reading or watching things happen all around the world, which I couldn't really affect or weren't affecting me immediately. So I kind of had a rehab from news, and now I just read the newspaper because I got a subscription from a colleague who was on vacation. So 2 weeks now, the newspaper drops on the doormat here, so I read that or basically just browse through.
He actively transferred it to you during his holiday.
Yeah, that's an option that she got from her from the newspaper company.
I thought you meant that she was just out of town, so you would just kind of go to her house, take the paper, and
No. She really redirected the postman to our house, so it gets delivered here now, which is a really cool service, by the way. I really like that. And now I have a newspaper, so that's a form of news I get. And of course, I am on my laptop, so I get confronted with the internet and all the things that are happening on there. So it's no escaping the news, basically.
And what's your social media of choice?
LinkedIn, if that counts as social media. I'm not a big Facebook fan and not a big Instagram fan. I like YouTube because it gives me content that I search for. LinkedIn and YouTube would be the two.
LinkedIn and YouTube. That is LinkedIn to me is always the very professional answer, right? Oh, it's LinkedIn. Like LinkedIn's the social media where you kind of want to straighten your tie before you start socializing, right?
No, not really. For me, it's just where I find my information that is relevant to me.
But do you, because I always find like when I go to LinkedIn, there's nothing that's in my, you know, whatever, that my timeline, I don't know if we call it that on LinkedIn, that's interesting to me. It's always like 50 people that I said, yes, I'd linked with you, but I don't, like, do you go there and you sort of just read what's in your timeline?
Yeah. Yeah. I've made an effort in connecting with people I find interesting.
See, there's my first mistake. I connect with people I find boring. That's
all. Yeah. Big mistake.
All right.
If you link with people you find interesting, and the assumption I make is that interesting people have interesting stuff to share. So if you link with interesting people, they share interesting stuff. And then, well, my feed is just filled with great content.
So. I've been doing it all wrong, Nick. I'm really glad we had this conversation. I think you sorted me out. All right, here is a question. Now this is a question that I know the answer to, because we already asked you this before you and I actually got on the connection together. But is there one news event that you'll never forget?
Yeah, there is one. This was 9/11. For me, it was a big event.
I think it was not just for you. It was a big event. Let me ask you to pause there, because I pulled a sound clip knowing that was going to be your answer. Let me play the clip.
Yeah.
So you have no idea right
now?
Oh,
there's another one. Another plane just hit. Right. Oh, my God. Another plane has just hit. It hit another building. Flew right into the middle of it. Explosion. My God, it's right in the middle of the building.
And that was someone being interviewed about the first plane hitting the first building, and mid interview, as you could hear, the plane hit the second building, and you could actually hear someone gasp mid interview who was not part of the two principal people talking. It was shocking. Can you tell us, you know, that it's the stereotypical question, but where were you when you heard about 9/11?
Yeah, well, I was on my bike when my father called me and he said, Nick, I'm in the car. I heard something on the radio. I want you to bike home now and turn on the TV and tell me everything that's happening. So being a good kid, I did that. And I watched the news with my father on the telephone and telling him everything that's being reported. And while we were talking on the phone, the second plane entered the building. So yeah, that was basically the first time it really impacted me that something big happened on a global scale, which affected everybody around the world, basically, and was so broadcasted throughout the news that it was the only thing everybody spoke about for a couple of weeks, basically.
And you can tell from my accent that I'm American, right? So like, people always say, the country changed on 9/11, and I think they're right. But do you think, if from your perspective, did things change on that day? Like, is that I see that it affected you, you'll never forget it, but do you think things really changed on that day?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it affected our country as much as it did yours. But I think it had some influence on how people see the world, not how they see the world. I think it impacted them on how they how vulnerable they felt afterwards. I think it was the first time it was a mass attack which involved a lot of, well, regular people, basically, not people who are, their job is to be in the line of danger, basically. And afterwards, it happened multiple times, also way close to home. It happened in Brussels, in Paris.
Yeah,
but this was for me the first time that it was really, okay, things could happen at any moment without you expecting it. And it's not like you're first going to be called and suited up in your army suit and get a gun and, okay, now go defend your country. It's just like, okay, it's here, something major.
Although to be fair, it usually doesn't. It could happen, but thankfully it usually doesn't.
Yeah. Thank God. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God indeed. Well, I don't want to linger too much in 9/11 for all kinds of reasons. But as long as I'm talking about one huge awful thing, I might as well move on to another, which is our current, you know, COVID-19 situation, which has dominated the world for months, and I'm wondering how that has affected you and your life.
There weren't any infections within my close circle.
I'm glad to hear that.
In that case, nobody died or got infected and had real bad symptoms of it. Some people did the test and were tested positive, but came off easily. the effect, the massive effect is more on the world around me. A lot of my friends are business owners, and they really had a setback there.
Yeah.
Financial troubles, having to lay off people, taking pay cuts themselves. So that's really the economical effects of COVID. And I really see them struggling.
And I think we're just seeing those effects getting started. You know, I don't think we've hit the bottom of that at all.
No. And I feel very lucky to work at a company that is so stable and conservative with spending money that they have some fat on their bones to we don't have to lay off anybody. We can still grow at numbers. So we're in a situation which is really comfortable, but I know that if I look around me, not many people are in those comfortable positions. A lot of people are under stress because they lose their work and with that their money and the way to provide for their family. So it's infecting people really personally. And we don't have a common enemy. That's something that is strange about this as well. You cannot blame anybody. It's just, this is what it is.
Well, you
deal
can,
with
you,
it, you, everybody.
You can blame somebody, but then your name would be Donald Trump and you're blaming people for no good reason. To think we can blame people, and I blame everybody who's stupid right now. Like at this point, everybody who's not washing their hands when they're supposed to and everybody who's not keeping their distance, I blame them a little. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can blame them for spreading, but not for causing. So,
that's a lot of things in life. You know, you can't really blame people for the bad thing, but you can blame dummies for being dumb about the bad thing, don't you think?
Sure, but yeah, just blaming them. We can also just step up our own game and try to help them understand or educate. Or
Nick, you're so much more positive than I. all right, let me move forward then. Let me move forward.
Okay.
So one way I think it's affected all of us, and it seems like such a petty thing, is that we can't travel, right? You know, we can't just go wherever we want. We used to travel all the time. Can you take us back to your favorite holiday memory?
I think it's a recent one. When I was growing up, my parents never took me to other countries.
No travel, no dreams, no fears. Nick's childhood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we never traveled anywhere. My father was highly active in charity work, so all his vacation days went that way, and for me that basically meant I got a new skateboard or new skates every summer, and I just can just go out and play with my friends, so I never really missed it. So I only started traveling and seeing other countries when I was in my 20s, and I like it, but I'm not somebody who says I love traveling. It's just okay, I would like to go on vacation once in a while, but it's not really something that I need in my life in order to be happy. But I went to Israel 2 years ago with my girlfriend, and that was really cool. She went there a couple of times, and she really knew the country, and she also had family friends there, and we went there as well. So you really got a really insightful way of seeing a new country, not really as a tourist, but more as through the eyes of people who live there.
And what's one thing that really struck you? What really jumps out at you is like, oh, this is something unique about Israel or the people there.
Yeah. Well, I have a religious background in my upbringing, so Israel is supposed to be the promised land. So I was also wanted to see the birthplace of Jesus, and while there, I was really disappointed because it's nobody cares about that city there. It's really in decay and not really beautiful. Nothing like I was expected. So that was a delusion or a deception, maybe.
It's a nice tribute to the fact that Jesus had to be born in a manger, though, you know.
Yeah. So that was something that stood out. And Tel Aviv is like the capital of Israel, and that's like way more sophisticated or modern than I could ever imagine. I think it's Amsterdam 2.0. It's like a really cool place to be. Very open, very friendly. There's a great vibe there. But also, it has a really old market, like the traditional market, like the Zouk thing. So the contrast is also really big, and I really like that as well.
All right, Nick, I've let time tick away, so I've got three questions, less than 2 minutes. Although I do want to note I'm not surprised you want to leave the world better, knowing now what we know about your father. What are your plans for the future? Maybe a big trip, some big thing in the future. I guess trip would depend on COVID, but
yeah, not really a big trip. I don't have really big plans in the near future. No, not really.
I'm just going to pretend you said, spend as much time with my new daughter as I can, and we're all going to be happy you said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but that's not something really big. That's just something I'm doing, and it's
that's
not
fair.
In the future, really. So, no, I kind of like where I am right now. Work's good, family's good, life is pretty good.
Well, that's fantastic. That's a great way to
be.
Well, then back in the here and now, what's the one thing you're most proud of from yourself or from your life? And I don't think it's fair to say your daughter, so something else.
Okay. I'm pretty proud of where I am right now. I've been working at Topdesk for almost 10 years now, and within the company, I've had a lot of different roles. And for the first time in years, I now really have the feeling that I am at the place where I need to be. I can do what I want and be of as much help as possible for the rest of the organization. And that feels really good.
Yeah, that would be something to be proud of. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Well, then the last question might be the toughest for you to answer, but if there's one thing you could change in your life right now, what would it be?
Yeah. One thing I could change in my life. I would like to have a garden. If I live in an apartment, so I do have a balcony and a roof terrace, but I would like to have a garden because I'm at home so many hours of the day now. And the simplicity of just walking outside of your door and into your garden and see your plants and maybe your vegetables grow is something I think would be really nice. So if my downstairs neighbors would offer their garden to me, I would be very happy.
Nick, that's going to be a tough negotiation, but I think someone with your positivity and ability to make positive change, if anyone can do it, you might be the one to do it. But I wouldn't bet money on it, Nick.
No, I'm going over recently or after this call and just try to persuade them into giving up their garden.
Who knows, right? I wish you luck. I don't know if you heard my alarm, but we ran out of time, but you nailed it. We got 10 questions, 20 minutes, and I wish you success with the garden and even bigger success as you and your girlfriend move into parenthood.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks to Nick, and thanks to you all for joining us here on TopCast. Join us again for a deep dive on all of your favorite Top Desk teammates. I'm Pep Rosenfeld. I hope to see you next time, and by see you, I mean we don't see each other. It's a podcast.